They used to make cars in Detroit. They still do. But today, Detroit is perhaps more famous for producing turnips, dry financial turnips. Bloodless, dry turnips with no financial angels on the horizon, Detroit succumbed to the inevitable yesterday and entered into the largest municipal bankruptcy in U.S. history. Chapter 9, $18 billion in debt, at least. Declining revenue, declining population for many years, increasing joblessness. The move made late Thursday afternoon, and the move was promptly accepted by Michigan Governor Rick Snyder in Lansing.
From a financial point of view, let me be blunt. Detroit's broke. It's been spending 38 cents on the dollar towards legacy costs. That number was projected to grow to 65 cents on the dollar. That's not a sustainable situation.
Not sustainable while 40% of the city's streetlights do not work. More than half of the parks have closed since 2008. Unsustainable. This city started to close down a long time ago.
More important than the financial situation are the poor services that are being delivered to the citizens of Detroit. They simply deserve better.
For instance, they might deserve an answer promptly when they call 911.
If you look at it in terms of public safety, Detroit has been on the top 10 list of the most violent cities in 24 of the last 27 years. Response times for police calls are at 58 minutes versus a national average of 11 minutes.
Those are just some of the details as Detroit tries to figure out what the implications of a Chapter 9 bankruptcy filing are. We're joined by Craig Folly, the host of the Craig Folly Show on WDET in Detroit. Craig, welcome. It's a sad day. How are you feeling today?
John, that's tough. Sad, I don't know if that's the right word. You pointed out some really, really important facts just a moment ago, that this city has been declining for a long, long time. Fact is, a lot of people here are looking at this, not to say that they're happy about it, but at least somebody's trying to get a handle on the situation and maybe correct some of the mistakes that have been plaguing this city for the last several decades.
So it's like a party where everybody's wearing a costume and in denial about the finances and the reality in Detroit has finally come to an end. People take off the costumes and there's a relief about seeing things the way they really are.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that the pensioners are necessarily relieved or retirees are going to be relieved about what's going on. But if you're a city resident, not somebody who's worked for the city, but somebody who just lives here, and all of a sudden you see more of the revenue that the city gets that is being directed towards services, garbage pickup, police, streetlights that actually work, that's not something that a lot of people are going to be upset about. And it's something that needs to be addressed in some capacity. And barring some sort of, you know, divine intervention here, this is about the only way to make it happen. A lot of people have been talking about this for years now, and it's just come to fruition at this point.
Does the state of Michigan have an interest here, or is this more a federal-state partnership kind of issue to deal with a federal problem, which, while confined to Detroit, is certainly not only relevant to this city?
Oh, I think the state has a significant interest here. One of the things the governor has been saying since he was elected to this office a few years ago is that, you know, without a healthy Detroit, there will never be a fully healthy Michigan. So taking these steps as drastic as they are, and he's taken a lot of criticism for even getting Detroit to this point where an emergency manager's in place to file bankruptcy here in the city of Detroit. I mean, I think what he's looking at is 20 years from now, when we look back on all of this, people are going to say, well, somebody stepped up. It was unpopular at the time, but it had to get done. The federal government, we haven't heard a whole lot from, other than the White House suggesting that they're monitoring the situation. So I think it's definitely going to be a sort of a state-city partnership more than anything else at this point.
As someone who lived in Michigan for a little while on the other side of the state, it always seemed to me that part of Detroit's difficulty is the extent to which there's a real separation and a non-sharing of resources among some of the very prosperous communities there near Detroit, Bloomfield Hills, Birmingham, Grosse Pointe, those kinds of communities there. And that the more natural partnership would be with all of them, a more consolidation, a metropolitanization of Detroit, rather than a partnership with Lansing that's, you know, about an hour and a half drive away.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that easy, though, because this goes back to territorial days here. The way that the township system was set up in Michigan, it's very difficult to take away home rule from communities that have it right now. And the politics around this are significant. There is a huge resistance to the idea of anybody paying extra money to help the city of Detroit if there's not the perception that they're helping themselves. this could be that sort of turning point, that Detroit finally looked inward and recognized that its system was unsustainable. People may be more willing to cooperate on some regional issues if they get a feeling that their tax money isn't going to be just wasted. And that's been the big problem politically.
And Craig Folly of the Craig Folly Show on WDET in Detroit. You know, Detroiters have seen this before. Lee Iacocca took Chrysler into bankruptcy and roared back and was a national hero. I mean, it's a little different in terms of economics, but this has happened before. There could be somebody who really comes roaring back here.
Well, you know, there's a lot of investment that is actually happening in certain parts of the community right now. And that's been happening despite, of course, the turmoil swirling around when it comes to the finances in the city of Detroit. So there is hope that if something can be done to halt the decline here, that if you can at least stop the decline, that you might be able to begin building again. But for a lot of these neighborhoods, that is going to be a long and difficult road back if it comes back at all. And that's going to be the big disconnect here, is whether or not the comeback only benefits some and not the people that have been suffering the most under Detroit's current plight.
Finally, Mayor Bing's health problems, the terrible corruption problems with Kwame Kilpatrick, now serving prison time. Who's given up on Detroit?
That's an interesting question. I think the people who live here still have not given up on this place. They would like to see it survive. There's a lot of fighting that's still going on, arguing as to whether or not others have given up on the city, and that's why they're trying to dismantle it in some capacity. But, you know, some of the suburbanites around here gave up on it a long time ago. They're not going to come back, but the young people have not. They're coming back, and I have a feeling that Detroit could do something differently in the future. It's not going to be the same story it is right now.
And that's pretty positive.
I think it is positive. Look, I'm still here. I'm here for a reason. And I think there's a lot of people just like me that are here for a reason because they see the real possibility of something significant and important here.
Don't go changing, Craig Folly.
Thanks, John.
Craig Folly, host of the Craig Folly Show on WDET. The city became the largest municipal Chapter 9 bankruptcy in U.S. history. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you.
Communities all around the world are being forced to consider mechanisms for matching community needs with available resources on their own. Loss of taxable income, valueless property, corruption all drive money out of the reach of government tax collectors as people try to survive on their own in communities now without government control or even a government at all. Every community from Congo and Somalia in Africa with no functioning government to other bankrupt U.S. municipalities like Jefferson County, Alabama or Orange County, California back in 1994 faced the same issues. How do you collect resources and then how do you decide what to fund first? In Detroit, there's an example of how to tackle this problem. Soup, it's called. It's a monthly competition where up to 300 Detroiters pay $5 each for soup and a vote to support a local creative project for social change. The winner takes home the pool of entry fees to begin their project with me. Now, as this month's winner of the soup competition, Amy Peterson, her project is called Rebel Nell. Welcome, Amy, and congratulations.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So how robust is a program like this in replacing the kinds of things that are going to be lost from a municipal bankruptcy? Or are you more on the fringe doing little seed money startups?
Well, it's interesting. Most of the competitors that I went up against are doing just that. They're replacing what is typically government subsidized in other towns and counties. So I think that there is a great need for that. You know, some of it is seed money so that we can grow our projects. But I think that they are serving a greater function than just getting seed money.
And they sense some prosperity in Rebel Nell. What's the product?
So what we're doing, it's actually, we're very excited about it. We are making jewelry from repurposed material here in Detroit. We're going to be starting with graffiti. After it falls off the walls, we turn that material into pieces of jewelry. But the objective of our business is to provide a transitional opportunity for disadvantaged women in the shelters, give them an employment opportunity, educate them on life skills, and then empower them to move forward in an independent life.
Now, some might look at that and say what you're doing is kind of cannibalizing the crumbling city that people have been looking at now for a generation. The question is, what will replace those things? What kind of prosperity is going to do a rebuilding that identifies Detroit as something new other than the place where the auto industry went away?
Yeah, I think what we're doing is kind of, you know, I think there's a lot of symbolism with the piece of graffiti and Detroit. You know, on its surface, it looks a little rough, but underneath are all these beautiful layers. And I think it's kind of calling attention to all the beautiful layers of people and ideas and history that make up the city. I think it's the grassroots efforts that are going on here. So many people are rolling up their sleeves and taking their own initiative to help rebuild. And a lot of those rebuilding efforts are ensuring that a positive community impact is a foundation of their business concept. And I think we live in it. We see it every day. So if we can do something to help while also being just conscious entrepreneurs, is a growing movement here.
So I'm sensing in the soup here a mix of fear, a mix of denial, a mix of relief, a mix of disgust. That's a lot swirling around this morning there in Detroit.
Yeah, but then at the same time, you have a Detroit soup who just, you know, Detroiters are really resilient people, and we have dealt with a lot of things throughout our history, and then you move on. And so Detroit soup last Sunday was a wonderful example of that. It was a huge turnout and people voting and showing hope for the city because they're willing to cast their votes in a positive idea that they think will have a tremendous amount of impact in the city. And the voting was really close, and the other competitors also had great ideas. There's a lot of great positive things going on in the city, despite, you know, the headlines and what else is going on. I think you'll see a lot of concerned citizens who are taking matters into their own hands and really helping to rebuild the community on their own.
Well, Amy, thanks so much and good luck to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Amy Peterson is co-founder of Rebel Nell, the winner of this month's Detroit Soup Competition.